It took me a while to watch Two Guns as well. Well, partly for kids, but also just because it seemed very generic. But it was really good. I liked that movie.
I feel like I thought it was entertaining.
I watched it much later, and I was like, oh, I shouldn't have slept on this one. It was okay.
I'll have to go back and rewatch. I felt like it was just a straight-up cash grab, and it was like, nah.
Oh, I definitely don't disagree with that, but I find great cash grabs entertaining sometimes. Yeah.
But I didn't hate Wahlberg at the time of watching it, and I always liked Denzel. And
say hi to your mother for me.
Welcome to our Film Fathers Podcast, the definitive podcast about fatherhood, film, and fatherhood in film. This is Jelani, and with me as always are Lyons and Spakowski, Martin and Brady.
It's easy to tell the difference between right and wrong. What's hard is choosing the wrong that's more right.
I pray you understand why I pushed you so hard. It was only to get you to the next level, son. I mean, use the first shovel's worth that's going to make it out of these projects, and I was the one who put the ball in your hand. Son, I put the ball in your crib.
Time is on my side. Yes, it is. Time is on my side. You like the Stones, Hobbs? I bet you didn't. You big monkey fan pussy.
This week, we made the decision to go full Denzel this month. It's officially Denzember here at the pod, and we're stuck in 1 year in particular. For the class in 98, Denzel was plenty busy, and we powered through all three of the movies that he put out that year. From He Got Game to The Siege and Fallen, the genres vary with subject matter that covers a wide range of topics. But one constant is the authoritative figure of Denzel. Where do we even start?
Class of 98, guys. That's me. I was class of 98.
From high school?
Yeah.
Yeah, 99 for me.
Who knew that... I didn't know Denzel did this much in 1 year.
I didn't. I don't remember at all.
I think we all know, like, he obviously, this is when they got put out, whether, you know, could have been over the course of 2-3 years. But nonetheless, when you look at the IMDb, the Denzel 98 year is
strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I saw them all like that year. I remember seeing Fallen, I think, later, a few years later.
I'm pretty confident I saw He Got Game when it came out. Yeah. I don't think I saw the other two when it came out. I had seen all three of these, though, before.
Yeah, for sure. This wasn't the first viewing for anyone, right?
No.
Okay, yeah. Rewatch all for me. So
yeah. I think I saw He Got Game shortly after it came out. Definitely one of my Tuesday Best Buy buys. The Siege was another one.
And He Got Game was Spike Lee's first film to open at number one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
The Siege was one that I watched, like, I think with my dad, I think he bought the DVD for that one. And then I remember my aunt and uncle had Fallen, and that was the first time I saw that.
Were they okay?
They were. Thank you for asking.
Is your refrigerator running? You better go catch it then.
I have a specific ranking after watching these again.
I was going to ask if anyone, I had a ranking going in, and my ranking is different. Now, I will say that without spoiling too
I think much. My ranking probably stayed the same.
I think it, yeah, it's roughly the same, but I think I changed one. Yeah, one.
So it's different.
So what was
I wasn't really
what's
sure.
A word you could use to describe that change?
I don't know. I don't always love to rank it. You know, it's like I don't see the point in rating art.
It's
even
a
though I love the Oscars.
Yeah. I don't think anything should be. There should be no clear cut winners in life.
You're all winners.
I think it's safe to say you're welcome to change at any point. Yeah. I mean, this is going to be on tape, so
totally.
It is what it is.
Right.
Well, let's start with The Siege. Was this anyone's number one?
No.
Before or after?
No.
Oh, okay. Me neither.
And yeah, it's, I mean, spoiler, but yes, it went down to the bottom.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
It's not my last.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah, I
pushed this for you guys. I was promoting.
No, you were right. You wanted to rewatch it. I'd only seen all of these movies only one time, so I was glad to rewatch them all. And I was curious to see how this would hold up. I only remembered a few things about it, mainly that Bruce Willis takes over the city. It's like about the whole new plot point that I really remembered a ton of. And I think just back then, there was so much in history and politics and branches of the, you know, CIA and FBI that I didn't probably understand as well as I do now watching
now many, that, now that you're real dialed movies. In.
Now that I'm real dialed into other movies on these topics.
Well, and it's weird to think about what this was, right? Like, let's say this movie's out in 98. Like,
right, 3 years.
The world is 11. Just yeah. so different that it's a hard thing to remember or grasp, like, perspectives that they were or where they were coming from on some of the stuff. And I don't think you're wrong, like, to say that we only knew so much, right? Well, one, being 17, 18 years old, but also the way that things were being portrayed on screen. And then, yeah, 3 years later, 9/11 happens. And,
right.
Well, I mean, a lot of things. This movie does touch on multiple things that are
slightly prophetic, but also, yeah, it had moments of being good, but I didn't think it was very, very good.
So I feel like this movie is, I think I'm fine saying that I think it's good. It's probably right below good.
It's fair.
But I don't think it's bad in any way.
No.
It has, I think Denzel's really good. I think like I said,
Annette
I
Bening's really good too.
I think, you know, I
you don't like
Annette I made Bening. A note. I don't like her.
But I don't think you're supposed to. I think she played Ever? This role I think, really well. No, I mean, think you're supposed to like her in the
You're
American
supposed
president.
To feel for her in this.
Yeah, yeah.
But
at I'm some point, you're not supposed to like her in this
am
movie.
Am I supposed I to like her in her career? Because I think that's where different. I'm at.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
I was like, I just don't know what it is. I can't get there. I just don't.
Did we do the American president?
I mean, no. I've seen it numerous times, but no, so. We haven't. Yeah, done it.
That's Sorkin, right?
It's Sorkin, yeah.
American Beauty.
If you don't like her in American President, then you probably never
and
gonna like her.
That
in
might
movie.
Be her peak for me, yeah. But it's still
not great.
She's just got an annoyingness that I have a hard time shaking. I'm fine saying it. I just
Jelani, you agree?
I'm indifferent to her, yeah.
And I'm slightly okay with her. Kind of like her.
So I thought the cast was surprising. Asif Manvi.
Yeah.
What the shit?
The Daily Show's Asif Manvi.
I mean, I was borderline floored.
I was blown away. Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was him at first.
You know? I was very confident that it was him, but also unable to comprehend that it could be him.
It was because it was the time. Like, I didn't think he was that old.
That's part of it.
He seemed like the same age in this. Totally. Right? Is that what it was? Yeah.
That's what
threw me off a lot.
I don't disagree with that.
He's been around for this long?
But that was a part of it. But also the fact that I mostly know, or I pretty much only know him from, to your point, being like a Daily Show correspondent, and he was not really being an actor.
Yeah. Right.
Almost like, and I know that he's not, that's how that works, but I don't know. He just never hit anywhere. But yeah, I mean, Denzel, Bruce Willis, Annette Bening, obviously some power hitters off the top. If you're into the Emmys, then Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub.
No slouch on the TV front.
I was going to ask, this is definitely pre-Monk.
I didn't watch Monk. I'm sure, Jelani, that was your area of expertise on USA.
We watched a little Monk, but I knew him from Wings.
Wings, me too. So yeah. I also knew him from Wings. Yeah, I just felt like there was, you know, Lance Reddick.
Yeah, I was going to
say
it.
Way Lance deep Reddick. On the bench. Wood Harris, also way
he
deep on the
up,
bench.
I was like, wait, what?
I just... For me, I felt like a lot of good performance. I thought Shalhoub was actually really good.
Yeah.
His
character and his role is what I remembered most about this film.
To the point that I was like, why didn't he do a lot of movies? Like, or why did he, you know, he had this very, very successful TV career. And this is like the only movie that I could think of him in. And I didn't look him up to double check.
Big Night is him with Stanley Tucci from 96. And that was a pretty big, like, indie movie, but yeah, okay. You're right.
It's one that networks
maybe
sitcom money.
It's just a choice, right? Like, maybe it's just a choice.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he just strikes me as being a really good actor. And
And he's good in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which I know you guys don't watch.
I didn't watch.
I was going to say, when is Men in Black? Is 98?
97, yeah.
97.
He was in that, but he was barely in that, too.
Yeah, but he was...
It was a bit...
So he was still dabbling in movies, enough that he was doing that 96 movie, 97, now this is 98.
Yeah.
And then it's...
And then you get that
but
network
Monk money. Wasn't on for 20 years.
No,
I mean...
Seven.
And then syndication.
I stand by what I said.
Those syndication checks come in and you get paid.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely, I feel like he's, known for Wings, Monk, and now Maisel more than.
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised at the cast, and I felt like kind of everyone did good. I think Willis was maybe
a little over the top.
The flaw of the movie, really, because of that whole. I think he's probably really what holds the movie back from being good for a lot of people.
And then it just kind of ended. I feel like that was the ending was a big problem. Like it could have either been longer, which I don't know if it would have been made it better, but it just they really didn't have a way to end it. So it's like all of a sudden it's like, yeah, well, put the order in. Okay, no, I'm not going to, and I'm going to get arrested. And then everyone's cheering in the streets that they were let out of the camps. Like, I don't know that they'd be cheering. I think they'd be pretty pissed off.
I think what I really
was just kind of like,
I liked the suspense. Probably, you're probably right. Right, like the first
half was
60% of the movie.
Yeah,
it's good. I think you have suspense. You have action. You have bomb buses that are being blown up. You have like
a lot of tension.
Yeah,
yes.
And that's why I think I hold it on a higher regard. Is I think I'm weighting that heavy.
You're nailing it.
Heavier
you're
than right. the. I'm just kind of brushing off the end. Okay. Right. It's not a perfect movie.
But yeah,
all
that's
good.
I mean, it's a complex topic, obviously. And
right.
There's just so much that they.
But they did hit on, like I said, they touched on things in a bit of a prophetic, foreshadowing way. I mean, we're talking about Muslims being lumped in altogether as being a problem because of one act. And it's like, when you think about the fact, which is what I was doing watching it. While watching this movie, I'm thinking about, like, how crazy is it that a lot of this shit becomes scarily true
right
3.5 years later? It's kind of nuts.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, the whole rounding up everybody just because they fit, a broad description and a broad brush, and you're putting them all in camps. And like I said, the Tony Shalhoub character's arc of him being an FBI agent and then his son getting rounded up, like taken from his home. And even after they said, his dad's an FBI agent, he's been in the country, 20 years, he's a citizen for 20 years, he's worked for the FBI for 10, and none of that mattered.
Yeah.
It was just like,
well, they're talking about Hamas. They're talking about Palestine. I was like, Jesus, man. Like, this is obviously subject matter that is very pertinent to the world that we're living in. I did see one note saying from an interview that the screenwriter said that it was kind of a box office failure, but then it became the most rented movie in America after 9/11.
Yeah. See, I was going to ask that question. Like, I'm surprised more people hadn't talked about it, because I really haven't really seen anything like that. Like, that it was the most rented, but that makes sense.
And
people didn't forget about it.
It had a poor showing, they said, because it was highly boycotted and picketed by Muslim and Arab communities. Yeah, and they were stereotyped as terrorists, and that was a problem for them. Like, it's
at least it didn't completely come true, right? At least we didn't go this far.
Martial law.
Yeah, martial law. And blowing up buildings with helicopters and, like, city limits. And
right. It's definitely not perfect. I do think it's a good movie. Like I said, I weight that front part of it, I think, pretty heavily. And I think there's a really great movie in the first 60% of it, or first two-thirds. And then, it has some problems towards the end. But I don't know. I enjoyed it, frankly. And like I said, it's number 2 on my list.
They also definitely should have looked at Samir earlier.
At what?
At Samir. She was speaking of Nat Bending's like, no, it's definitely not him. Oh, shit. It's him. It's like, I didn't think that, because, I mean, obviously, that's probably is going to be him, but they definitely led you away from it.
Right.
And it's like, oh, that's kind of a silly, stupid ending. Like, that's who they're supposed to be looking for the whole time, and he's right there.
Right there.
Yeah. Bruce Willis probably would have found him already.
The fun note that this is the only movie we watched this week that doesn't feature a Totoro.
Oh, it's hard to find them anymore.
Yeah, but then in the next movie that came out was He Got Game, and also in 98, obviously. Spike Lee re-teaming with Denzel, and one of the things that stood out for me in on a lot of movies, but this one specifically, was the music.
The score.
Yeah. Score by Aaron Copland.
Yeah.
Like
Copland and Public Enemy together.
Yeah. And then, Public Enemy all over the track. What's the song that they cover for the He Got Game? What's the underline?
There's Something Happening Here. Yeah. What is it called?
Joe Cocker, right?
Allman Brothers.
No, it's Stephen Stills. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Stephen Stills, I think.
Oh, is it?
Or Buffalo Springfield. It might be.
It's not Joe Cocker?
No.
It's definitely not Joe Cocker.
No, it's yeah, there's something. What is
Buffalo
it?
Springfield.
Stop. What's that sound? Everybody look.
Buffalo Springfield.
Is the not the name of the song. It's the band.
No, it's the band.
Yeah. Right. Stephen Stills was in it.
Who wasn't in Buffalo Springfield?
It was a power group. But of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And,
yeah, he was the lead singer for Buffalo Springfield.
And he wrote, he got songwriting credits for that song. But what's the name of the song? There's Something Happening Here or Stop.
For What It's Worth.
For What It's Worth, that's it. Yeah, that's the sample.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I remember that coming out.
Well, that song obviously was a huge, had a big life.
It's a great sample. It works really, it's really good to rap over, right?
It's, yeah, whoever was able to kind of read the tea leaves there and figure that out. Right. I mean, probably. That's, it is. It's public. They're both the music collaborators for the movie. And it's that. I play that song all the time. I mean, I loved that song. I felt like it was great for multiple reasons. Like, you dipped into the classic rock aspect.
I've had it in my head all week just thinking I'm going to watch He Got Game.
Yeah.
But yes, back to the Copeland, though. What does it remind – what is the fanfare for the common man is the one I know of. Yeah. What does it remind you
of? It's beef.
The beef. It's what's for dinner, right?
It's for dinner.
But exactly. I liked – Spike obviously is intentional in everything he does. I think – he's trying to elevate, right, what they're doing. Like, by making it, you set that to classical or whatever, new classical music or composed music, and I think it just, it's different. It's not what you expect, and it makes it, I don't know, it gives it a little bit more
gravitas,
yeah. And I appreciated that in the beginning. And then, yeah, all the parts when he's playing with his son, too, you have, like, that swelling music in the back that just really, it really adds a lot to it. I don't know that I loved it in 98 when I first saw this, but I loved it at this time.
You know what was not as good as the music is the writing.
Yeah, the dialogue.
So I wasn't always this movie great, is right? third for me, and it was not coming in. And I very much like I couldn't
you're hitting on the right reason.
It just the writing the dialogue it's I think at first I when I was 18 I think I probably thought, "Oh, it's Ray Allen. It's not his fault. Like he got a basketball player to be." It's not.
It's the writing.
It's the writing.
But it didn't completely take away. That's why I still like the movie. Because I noticed that, and you're right. But it didn't take away from the other elements of the movie that I like.
Yeah, I just was.
Wasn't that detrimental.
Throughout the movie, I just kept being like, oh, God, this really isn't as good as I remember.
And Spike's really good at writing dialogue. That's why I was more surprised at that, too.
Yeah.
In some of his other movies, he does a really great job. So it's kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's glaring, personally. Like, and throughout this, I feel like it's pretty...
But, like, Denzel's lines or everybody's lines?
Maybe not everybody's. I mean, Denzel has some good... I mean, you read one, Jelani, earlier to start. Yeah. You know, there's good in there. But I would say, overall, it's a pretty poorly written movie. And, again, this is not what I thought coming in. I thought, no doubt, I knew where I stood with this, and I finished this, and I was like, I don't think I probably will watch this again. I don't think it's that good.
I think that the thing that changed for me with this movie was, if you think about it, where we are in the landscape today, could this movie be made? Do you still have all the same drama that, you know, Jesus was going through?
Well, there's also some major, that's another part of this thing. A week before signing day, we're going, people are going to start caring. He's taking no visits. He's like, there's so many flaws in the timeline of this whole thing. Like, again, we've talked about this many times.
What are the rules now? Or what?
Well, first of all, this shit's already done.
Yeah.
A week before signing day, he is no one at that level is undecided. For
even,
one.
Even 25 years ago?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. He'd know whether he's going for one, pro he's already or going
been.
To
he's already. That would have been decided. He would have already known every school that he was. He'd probably been narrowed down to three or five. He would have been to campus before that final day.
Yeah. Like the final weekend.
2 days before he's deciding. He's like, I should go check the school out. Probably.
Yeah. Would have been. And the thing was like, oh, we'll only get so many visits. Like, no, they would have had multiple visits.
Well,
like,
they
unofficial.
And they
official.
Kind of alluded to the you had some, but also he never went to the school he picked. He went to Tech U, and that's another flaw. I'm sure there's a reason behind why they have to use fake schools while simultaneously having real head coaches from multiple schools in the movie. Well, like
that sounds good, and this is why it's surprising again, because Spike loves basketball, right? It's just, notoriously famous for being a big basketball. So you would think he would want to make it as.
So maybe there's a legality reason why they couldn't use
probably
real
schools. Licensing. Oh, I'm sure. They would have to pay the school's licensing, maybe.
But again, you
I get
also
why
had.
Use them, but I don't get why those things that you mentioned that I didn't know about, but like would be inaccurate, or why
yeah,
not just make it.
The fact that it was like 1 week before, and it was like, oh, all right, we're, you know, well, not to even get into the fact that they're going to let a prisoner out of jail. Yeah. And like that, there's just, in my opinion, this movie is flaws all over the place. Yeah. But
I think the
point, and I'm not trying to tear it down.
No, that's all right.
I think what you like, but
yeah, I think the point of all of it was just showing how much everyone's trying to get a piece of them, right?
Sure.
Which I think is
which apparently only came to light the final week of his commit. Like, again, I mean, I get it, right?
From his girlfriend to his dad, you know, just
well.
Yeah,
and the thing
everybody.
Was, they kind of like Brady was saying, they kind of hinted at it, like when he went to Tech U and he was talking to. Rick Fox, he was like, yeah, I've taken a couple visits. When he was talking to his basketball coach, he's like, well, I already gave you the money to get you and your sister out of your uncle's house. Like, it was kind of like, okay, there's been some lines crossed, but now with NIL.
But again, he was a hard-lined.
Right.
Oh, no.
I'm not taking another 10 grand because right. I already took that 10
he's
grand.
He's all over this, like, I can't accept a ride. I can't do so many things because it's illegal. And it's like, but yes, but he's already accepted money.
Right.
Like, there's, I don't know. There's a lot of fucking flaws, in my opinion. And they're not even hidden. It's kind of glaring.
Yeah.
And now with NIL, like, all that is legal. Like, he could take money. He can go and whoever. You know, not the drug dealer, but the guy that gives him a ride in the car.
Yeah. Big time?
Big time. Yeah. If he was just like, yeah, that guy
big
wanted
time
to pay.
Stereotype?
Exactly. He really was. That was about... And same with the agent guy.
The agent.
But I think that was purposeful as well. As I was watching, I'm like, this guy's terrible actor.
Yeah. Well, he didn't even have to act much.
Terrible.
I think he's supposed to be a pretty
face.
Even
if he was like a real agent.
I think he was supposed to be a pretty face. Oh, you mean the agent.
The white agent.
Not
guy.
The guy who is visibly hooking up with his girlfriend in front of pool. You guys make yourself at home. You mean like get in a pool and cuddle?
No, I meant the agent. He was just a terrible actor.
The Italian
I think the point
agent.
Of it was just to show... Yeah, how bad these agents actually are. You just walk around showing the cars and
I thought going in, I was like, I love He Got Game. Always loved it. And I did not. I wish I still felt even close to that. I veered hard the other direction.
That was and like you said, Brady, having the real actors or real basketball players and real coaches and things like that.
Speaking of coaches,
yeah,
no Jim Calhoun.
You know,
of all the big coaches, they don't have Ray Allen's actual coach.
maybe he didn't want to do it.
I was Dr. Tom.
Dr. Tom got in there. Luke got in there.
I was some Hawkeye royalty in there, but no Jim Calhoun. I was like, I mean, maybe it's because Jim Calhoun can't speak coherently, as I can't speak coherently saying that, but that's possible. Martin doesn't know who the hell we're talking about.
No, right? Yeah, keep going. Though.
That's Connecticut's. Which is where UConn's where Ray Allen played. Okay. Jim Calhoun is a very northeastern guy, but very much a coaching legend. And of all of the people they had, I was like, would have fit in perfectly in that.
Yeah. Was Coach K?
Coach K wasn't. But you hit on almost all the other big ones.
Yeah, you had Dean, you had Roy, you had.
And in fact, I would say kind of weird that Dr. Tom was in it. Really, like no real reason for him to be. On that list.
Yeah, I thought it was an impressive amount of people that he got to be in this movie, right? Like, the cameo.
Yeah, and it's pretty easy stuff, right? Like, just
it was an easy
talk a couple one-liners on, you know, ESPN about
Jesus.
About Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, yell Jesus out.
Shaq.
I cut you off, sir. So, finish your...
So his basketball team was made up of real basketball players, except for Hill Harper.
31-year-old high schooler.
But
what do we know him from? Like, I've seen him in
fair question.
Stuff, I didn't look it up.
Agree.
But I
also know him, but I don't know what he's from. He's on a TV show, probably like CBS or something.
Yeah. Like I feel like he was on like a CSI.
Is he like Numbers or CSI?
I think he was a CSI New York, maybe.
The Good Doctor?
I never watched The Good Doctor.
He's in it, apparently.
Go farther
back. Yeah, CSI New York.
There you go. Farther back, I was going to say.
Sinise.
Skulls.
He's in The Skulls?
I guess.
Paul Walker? Joshua Jackson?
Limitless, the series.
CBS. Also CBS.
Yeah, he's in a bunch of TV shows.
Wow, CBS loves him. Hey, still out there.
He's like a bargain Dulé Hill. Like, we can't get Dulé Hill, get Hill Harper. Well,
he's probably a more successful Dulé Hill, I'm guessing.
But so the three of the other teammates were played by real basketball players.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Travis Best.
You only recognize this guy? Who's the short? Because they had all their heights on there.
Yeah, the shortest guy was Hill Harper. That
but wasn't there another one that was like 5'9"?
Yeah, Travis Best would be shorter.
He was like 6 foot.
Oh, they marked someone as 5'9".
They might have made him
well,
like
high school height.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, yeah. These guys are playing high schoolers.
Travis Best ended up being a Georgia Tech guy.
Okay. Can you name the where the other two players went to school? John Wallace?
Syracuse.
Walter McCarty.
Beheim was in it too. Walter McCarty, Kentucky, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. That was what I was going to say.
I did not look that up.
Yeah. I was surprised you got Travis Best. I didn't know. I had to look that up.
Oh, really? Yep. Yeah. No, I got that one. Case Martin, you locking all this up?
Guys. Yeah, you guys have so much like
worth
that you
knowledge.
Know all the movies and TV shows and actors and all the sports stuff. It's pretty impressive. To me.
Yeah, I just can't get actual history stuff like who invented the gin,
the cotton gin,
the cotton gin. Eli Whitney,
yeah. God, Eli Wallach.
I didn't get that until just now.
I didn't
know
either.
What you meant
I meant
by Eli Wallach.
I had to look it up, but now I understand.
That's what I put. I was typing. I was
knew
like,
it was good.
I know it's not Eli Wallach, but it's all I got in my brain. I'm like, so I put it in just to move on. I'm like, I already missed two. I was like, I'm done with this survey or right, this the, Daily
the,
Dozen.
There was a trivia.
Trivia,
yeah, trivia question where I was asking who invented the cotton gin and Brady wrote Eli Wallach.
It's not him, by the way.
Where do you know that name from, though?
Long lost cousin. 12 Angry Men?
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And.
Am I wrong, by the way?
I don't know I if he might right. be in 12 Angry Men, but he's in The Good, Bad, The Ugly.
He's The Ugly, I believe.
I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, you probably haven't. You wouldn't like it.
I think
like
you
3 hours.
Did we do it?
I think we did.
Good and Bad, Ugly? We never
no,
did.
I don't think
for Westerns?
No.
No. We did Magnificent Seven.
I feel like we might have done it.
The Bad, The Ugly? No way.
So I did. The note I didn't know that I saw was that Spike wanted Kobe for the role.
He would have been really young.
But
that was the point.
100%. Right. He would have looked young.
He would have looked really young.
But he had just finished his rookie year in the NBA, and he had shot several – this is the story I'm reading – shot several air balls in a brutal playoff loss to the Jazz, and he planned a workout program that would help him maintain more strength throughout the NBA season after his first go-around. And Spike – the summer he wanted him was all crossover. And he's like, I'm busy. Focusing on basketball essentially, which is on brand. And so Spike went straight to Ray Allen that. But
my favorite side story from this is that the end scene, the end basketball game.
I got that
with Ray Allen and Denzel. So it was supposed to be just a wash. It was supposed to be Ray Allen 11-0, and that's how the script was written. But Denzel played basketball when he went to Fordham, so when they rolled the ball out, like I think it's the very first scene, like he goes at him and he goes and he scores, and Ray's like, whoa, hey Don, and he goes, Spike, what's going on? And he's like, just keep going,
yeah,
keep playing. So then Ray Allen's like, all right, we're gonna play then. And so they played, and I granted Ray Allen probably took over, and they kind of added a couple shots in there for Denzel, but yeah, he was taken aback at first. He's like, whoa, wait a minute.
They're not supposed to score.
The
at
story
all.
Was Denzel scored 4 straight
okay.
Buckets. And then Ray Allen scored the rest from there on out. But it was the only caveat to that, and I'm sure it's because you start editing more in there, is the dialogue along with it. Because if it was really, this isn't supposed to happen, and then we're getting serious type of vibe, like I think some of that's probably veering. But nonetheless, it's a really good scene.
I think it worked out really well. Yeah,
And that's a very strong scene in the movie, and I think the fact that he does get buckets actually makes it way better than if it was the
just
alternative.
Yeah.
So the looking through the credits, I'm gonna guess neither of you.
I made it all the way through.
Were you paying attention?
I don't know.
I don't know if you would catch it anyway.
Probably not if it's...
The basketball technical consultant?
I did not see that.
Definitely not going to catch that, no.
Sonny Vaccaro.
It was Earl Monroe.
Ah!
Earl the Pearls.
Who was called out in the movie as being Jesus. And so I
love
thought
that scene, too.
I thought that was a very interesting... I was just kind of just blindly scanning it, and I caught Earl Monroe, and so I was like, hold on. I was like, that's awesome that he's the basketball technical consultant, and they – like, there's a lot there. And then, and I – sorry, real quick.
Yeah.
I'm guessing is if I had – my guess is it's a Spike's – Denzel's statement about, like, the affinity of the name and all that is Spike's. That's all tied to Spike.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
I would think so. I was just going to say that the things that save the movie for me or make me like it is that scene, the final playing scene, and also when he was playing his son as at a young age, and then the Rosario Dawson and Rayon scene when they're like breaking up. I thought was pretty good too. Just cuz I didn't know where they were going to really go with that. I couldn't really remember. And I just thought it seemed kind of real that they didn't like they were kind of screaming at each other, but also just that she kind of knew it was done, just wanted to give him a kiss, and then just walks off. I don't know. I thought it was pretty well written for poorly written dialogue movie.
Well, by the way, there's some pretty poor dialogue in that conversation. But
yeah, maybe. But I don't know. I thought it felt – it rang somewhat true to me. I don't know why.
There, I saw a note that she said in some interview afterwards or well afterwards that she was a virgin at the time of filming. She was only 18. Mm. And – film the sex scene while being a virgin. It's like, yeah. So it's like, what's funny is I kind of don't think I would have got it right if I was asked who was his girlfriend in this movie.
I totally forgot.
I did not remember. Like, it all makes sense in my brain that, like, it was her. But when I first saw her, I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, it's Rosario Dawson. Like,
Lala.
So that was,
I like Rosario Dawson. And yeah. We did 25th Hour, she was comes back in the Spike Lee movie there.
And she looked youngish then. And yeah. So, yeah, no, he definitely, clearly. And she's good. She's a perfect New Yorker, right?
Yeah.
Like, she may not even be from New York, but she's a perfect Boricua.
Very nice. What do you make of the ending? I totally forgot about that. And, you know, it's just kind of cheesy, maybe? Or
a little, yeah.
More than a little.
Yeah, I don't know if it really... needed to be like that.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like you felt bad. And
what did I think of a ball being thrown out of a prison yard and landing in a gymnasium?
Yeah,
is that your question?
Like, it's obviously symbolic, right? Or are we supposed to interpret that he actually got out and he was there? That's why I'm asking. I guess
I didn't interpret that.
You didn't think that?
Yeah. I don't think so either.
I think it's just a really bad scene. But
I didn't particularly hate it, but I didn't particularly love it either. I don't know.
I also don't know why he had to step two steps into the out of bounds zone.
Almost get shot.
To get a gun pointed at him to throw it over the wall.
Because he didn't have that kind of range.
He looked like he could have gotten it.
Yeah, I feel like, I felt comfortable that he was getting it. He was clearing that wall.
Aren't you supposed to be lifting weights in there, Jake?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah. I don't think it's like
long.
You said, yeah, it was a little lengthy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I enjoyed it as much.
That's why
as
I saved it for last. I looked at the length of all three, and I was like, "Oh, not ready for that one tonight."
Yeah, it didn't need to be that long. And we obviously said some of the dialogue's a problem. You could probably cut some of that stuff. But product.
You don't want to cut the scene with the assistant coaches or anything.
We're not cutting that scene. Not cutting that scene.
Some things need to be to get the story move the story along.
Exactly. But I think the gem of the week.
Number one on all three lists?
Yes.
Yeah, is that right?
Oh, I mean,
yeah.
It's mine and his. Okay, yeah.
Mine,
so it's it's fallen.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
It's fallen.
This is a good movie. Why is it only like 40-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes?
Is that it?
Yeah. I don't know.
I thought this was a fantastic film.
Fantastic?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, 40% exactly. That's low. Oh, that might have been me. I don't know. Oh. 40%.
Seven on IMDb, 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. 40% on Rotten Tomatoes. It seems criminally low.
Yeah,
for an interesting.
You know,
it starts good.
It does
that kind of surprise ending thing. It.
I will say, if I had to guess, I was actually telling someone younger than me about what movies we were watching this week, and he was not familiar with Fallen, and so I was like, oh. So I kind of described it to him, and I'm pretty confident that he will never watch the movie based off me describing that, like, an entity is inside. Like, it just...
That demon is passed by touch.
That alone could be enough for people to not be enamored with the movie. I liked it. I'm just saying.
I think it's got the fantastical elements that, you know, go along, but it makes it a good thriller. Like, this was just a good thriller. It was like, hey, he's a detective. You know, we just got done doing Devil in a Blue Dress and some film noir and stuff like that. But
another Denzel narration.
Right. And with this, it was just like, all right, you got a detective detecting things, like going through, finding clues. And it was good. You know, yeah. I enjoyed it. I don't know why people dislike it.
I think it kind of, because you could ask those questions like, yeah, why doesn't he just get it right into Denzel? He tries to get into Denzel, but he can't. Why is he messing with him? And he's like, because I'm just having fun with you. And it's explained very well, I think, because that's exactly what a demon who's eternal basically would do. Like, right. Yeah, why not just take your time? You don't have to do everything quickly, especially if you can move between people that fast. And yeah, those scenes where he was passing between people on the street and they were all yelling back at him. Great scene. Yeah, just really, like when he finally figures out and they're singing. John Goodman. Fucking love John Goodman. I want to see.
John Goodman is so good in this. And I saw somewhere that it was written for him. And I'm like, that makes sense because he is.
I could have used more.
He is exactly who you wanted in that coat.
I want them together again. That's what my biggest takeaway from this movie is. I want to see John Goodman and Denzel in a movie together in a different story.
They are.
What?
Flight. Another movie that starts with the letter F.
I haven't seen Flight.
It starts with the letter F.
You say Flight's really good, too. I got to watch Flight.
You got to watch Flight.
I don't know why I haven't.
It's got everybody.
But there you go.
All of Denzel's cronies are in it. You got Melissa Leo.
Like
you got
set you up
Don Cheadle. You got John Goodman. They're all there. It's a party.
It's a
Denzel party.
It's a Zemeckis film.
Yeah. Okay.
It's good.
But 77% on Rotten Tomatoes. There you go. That's more in line probably with
The only thing that I felt like fell flat in this film was the finale.
Yeah, so I remembered it.
I did too.
I obviously did.
I like kind of the callback to the beginning, and I think you
and the sympathy for the devil at the end. Great, that's a nice little touch.
I think you have a good. I like that they are you you got the precursor. The start of the movie is the jump to the end or whatever you want to call it.
Foreshadowing.
Right, but I think they're literally playing a scene from it. That's why I don't necessarily wouldn't have said that. But you're getting the – let me tell you about – and it's him narrating. So you're under the impression you're talking about Denzel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so
the, not Azazel.
The veer there at the end I think is clever and good. But the fucking cat is just like – I think I agree with you. I feel like
that's what you guys don't like about it.
Oh, I think it's a pretty weak.
It's a cop out. I think.
Yeah,
but we saw him being the cat earlier, so
I understand.
I'm saying having a cat out there is the
right, and him being able
if it
to
was
survive.
A fox would have been better for you guys.
No, and it'd be a fucking grasshopper. I mean, it would have all been dumb.
Yeah. Well, it clearly needs to be a mammal. No, I don't know.
No. You highlighted okay, so sympathy for the devil.
Yeah.
What other song features, or what other film features that song?
A Devil's Advocate. I don't know.
Yeah, it's another movie that starts with the letter F.
Huh.
Jesus Christ.
like with Denzel or with,
with Denzel. Another leading black actor.
I do know because I've seen that song in a couple of movies, but I can't get there.
Yeah, you need to focus.
Maybe I haven't seen that one either. Is that with Will Smith?
Will Smith and Margot Robbie.
Margot.
Yeah.
I do like them both. I haven't seen it, though.
I enjoy that movie.
Yeah. It's a prominent... There's a prominent scene where they play Sympathy for the Devil.
Yeah. So that's one of my favorite Stones tunes.
Yeah. And then...
Every time I hear Time Is On My Side, I think of this movie. Think of this hands down.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So just to round out my F theme for the rest of this movie, M. Beth Davis...
There's more of why we're on an F theme.
M. Beth Davis, who plays Greta.
Miss Pretty.
From
Matilda.
Right. But she's also in one of my other favorite films.
Yeah.
Fracture.
I've seen Fracture. It was with Gosling, right?
Gosling and Anthony Hopkins.
And Anthony Hopkins. We've seen her in something else, too. Because I remember being like, oh, why?
Recently?
How do I know her? Yeah, I thought so.
I just know her from Fracture, Fallen, and Matilda. The other thing that I noticed, and you guys tell me where you fall with him, is Sutherland. Yay? Nay?
I know I know why you're asking, because I don't know. I don't know that he added to this movie.
He's the same always.
He seems to be the same, and I like him in certain things. Loved him in Backdraft, right? When he plays like...
There's certain times when he's Backdraft. Yeah, when he's great, like in Backdraft and in Time to Kill.
Yeah.
This one I felt like he could have done more, but
I just don't think he was necessary.
I think so. Something. He is good for the, in this role, I think he's good because at the end, he fit. That's when he's perfect. When he is essentially opposite of Denzel, and you can't tell with him if he's good or bad. You can't tell with Donald Sutherland. Because he can literally do the exact same thing, and you could argue both sides and be right.
Sure. Maybe they were going for like an Invasion of the Body Snatchers nod or something. Like, is he him or is he the pod?
Well, that's why person. It's great, right? Because he could be Azazel, and he could be the boss or the chief or captain or whatever. And I don't think you could waffle along that the entire time, and you were right and wrong. It's weird. Like that's when he is at his best.
Yeah. Yeah, that I felt like that.
So that's why I think he works, because he works really well for that scene, and all of the rest of it's kind of just... I mean, he doesn't have a lot going on prior to that, other than being surprisingly unsupportive of his, like, most best detective once a little bit of problem arises.
Yeah.
Sure seems to lose a lot of faith quick.
And Elias Koteas.
Yes. Yeah, what do we know him from? We already had him.
Yeah, in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He was
Ryan
Jones. And you said you'd never seen him in anything else, I don't think.
But he's in Shooter.
Wrong. Oh, or something.
Which we talked about.
Yeah.
I think he's on one of those CSI shows or something now.
Chicago PD.
Yeah, sure. But Denzel.
He's good, by the way. Elias, in this, yeah, he's really good.
He was really good, right? He plays a great psycho. Have you guys ever seen the movie called The First Power? With Lou Diamond Phillips?
No.
I don't know. There's something. It's like this a similar thing where there's like this guy that supposedly dies but then comes back. So it's just there's elements of it that reminded me of that. It's one of those I saw when I was a kid, and I'm like, no one else knows
about it. I saw a note about Ricochet. Like it has similar elements to another movie, but I had never heard of it. That might have been it.
Oh, I wonder.
I didn't take it down. I was like, I'm unfamiliar with that movie. So.
Unfamiliar with The First Power with Lou Diamond Phillips.
He only did La Bamba.
And Stand and Deliver. Come on.
La Bamba's just peak Lou Diamond.
The big hit?
It's La Bamba.
I stand by what I said.
Richie! that's so good. I've seen that movie
much. When I was a kid, I watched it a ton.
So much.
Yeah. My parents even liked it.
Oh, Donna.
Did you guys see the relief meme that's taken from this film?
No.
So when he's sitting at the table with John Goodman, and he's like, oh, you just need to know when your moment is. He's like, how do you know? And then the phone rings, and he like falls back and puts his hand over his heart. Like, I just was like,
oh, it's a meme?
It's a meme. Yeah.
People just use that, and it's something like when it's relieving. Like
something relieving.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I like that.
It's a good scene, too.
Yeah. So... Let's get back to
not to mention Gandolfini.
Yeah, right. That was the other one. Yeah, I totally. We just saw him in True Romance.
We've had him.
And this is a year before Sopranos, right? 99 Sopranos started?
Right around then, yeah.
Shaved that mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a good stash.
He's great. I mean, it just, like you said, we talked about that during True Romance. And yeah, I mean, the Sopranos, just unreal.
Yeah. I think the way this movie could have been better, I would have liked even more of the, I don't know, lore or something of Azazel and like demons.
I would probably agree with that.
Like other demons, other fallen angels, instead of like just, you know, the daughter of Embeth Davids, like instead of just the daughter of someone that he possessed once before, like maybe they went and researched a little bit more and had a little bit more of like,
yeah, I don't disagree
element.
With that. I think,
but it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of the, right, like the scene where it's passing amongst on the street amongst like 8 to 10 people or whatever is cool. But I very much agree with you. I think you could dive into, and maybe they would if this movie's made a 10 years later. That's probably things that people find a little more interesting.
Or remade. I could see this being remade.
Or continued.
Or continued.
Continued would make the most sense, I think.
Does
Johnny's like, you do not slander remaking a Denzel movie.
Did her dad figure out how to kill?
There is a Fallen 2, but I don't know if it's the same. Maybe it's something else.
Yeah, it's not Olympus.
No, he figured out the same thing.
He figured out the same thing.
He would have got beaten out by a pussycat.
Right.
I don't know why the name's painted over, though. Admittedly, I didn't figure that part out.
I didn't figure that out either.
Yeah, the Azazel?
Yeah, because he found it under a bunch of paint, which...
Yeah, I thought that was a weird
was a pretty quick leap to get paint thinner on a wall, but...
get some turpentine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was just curious if he, like, thought, okay...
No, he figured out, and that's why Denzel... figured out, yes, I get what he was doing here with the whole, like, how, you know, he could only go so far.
Right.
So isolate yourself.
500 cubits.
It's 1/6 of a mile.
All right, she do that pretty quick.
Yeah, she added that up.
If I measure my elbow to my fingertip. but yeah, we had a lot of Denzel.
Yeah.
We pretty much know our rankings. But
yeah, I'm the most different for you, so.
What was the most... He was himself in all of these, right? There was like the speech. Like, what is it about him that makes him great?
So, and this, I think I said to this a while back on the pod is there's times I don't know if how good of an actual actor I think he is because sometimes I don't think his range is all that great. I think he's pretty similarly the same, or he's not too far of a variance off of
that's fair.
Denzel, mm-hmm. right? And so he clearly can do different things. He's done it over a very lengthy career, but. In terms of actual range, I don't think he has anywhere near as much as a lot of other people.
Have you seen Flight?
I have. You know what? Forgettable.
False. fake news.
They
flagrantly.
Oh boy! False. There was no doubt he was going to try. He just like Martin felt left out.
Fuck you guys.
I will say this.
Fine.
With Denzel, you get the consistency. And I think that's really what...
I think you guys are saying the same
thing.
Yeah,
I was like, that sounds a lot like what I'm saying, but trying to sex it up a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, make it sound nice.
Yeah, he is Denzel in every single film. But every single film, regardless of the character he plays, he has elements of like the commanding power. Like when he told... his nephew to get back in the house, like get back in the house, like all right, yeah, I'm listening to that.
I really wish I could do a good Denzel.
Right. And then but he also has like the charisma.
He definitely has. That's probably his best feature, or what has, you know, got him to where he exists in the you know, in the history of actors. And like I said, I don't disagree with it. I just think that'd be that's my knock on him. It's just range, in my opinion. And I think he just very often is his charismatic self, and that works really well in a lot of the movies that he's in. Yeah.
And when he gets into that upper whatever voice, when he gets excited and gets like really deep and kind of angry, it's like, all right, here we go.
He gives you a speech. He gives you a speech. He gives you a head tilt. He gives
you enjoy it every time.
Know. Yeah.
I would like to see, and maybe we'll get to this at some point. I would like to see if he could ever pull off a comedy.
And he hasn't really tried, huh?
I think there's maybe one that he tried.
He's funny at times.
At times, right? And then like,
it's a
burst
in a face
in burst
facial,
So if he could pull off a comedy, or if
I would say Tom it probably would have happened already.
Yeah, why hasn't he tried?
It would have. I don't think he's gonna get there later in life. I mean, you know, I don't think he's going like De Niro and becoming, you know, like a really funny older. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there is a spot, but
after he gets done with his old man action,
yeah.
What did you say? I think we cut you off. You said Hanks or something.
So I wanted to see if he could pull off a comedy.
Okay.
Better than Tom Hanks could pull off an action. Because I don't think Tom Hanks has ever done action.
Full on action.
He's done drama.
Right.
And tension and stuff like that, but never like
Tom Hanks in Die Hard.
Or, Tom Hanks in The Equalizer.
No.
Right? Like, Tom Hanks in Old Man Action.
Right.
Nope. Can't see it.
Stay in your lanes.
It's worked for both of them. Yeah. They both have very successful careers, and they both were in a movie together.
Hmm.
Which one?
Philadelphia.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course. 93.
Philadelphia. Come on. It's part of this episode.
That's another F name.
Which
Ted,
I believe this was
Ted
also.
Demi.
I think this movie was also shot in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I think Fallen
I think I did
takes
see,
place in Philadelphia.
I think I did see that Philadelphia film board or something like that on, in the end, in the credits.
Yeah.
Watched a lot of credits this
yeah,
time around for some reason. Because the songs, that's why. Because the songs were good.
Yeah.
In the end credits.
As always, time is on your side. So subscribe wherever you listen and give us a follow. Thanks, and go to bed.